You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, what we're going to talk about, just for the listeners out there, is the renewed airstrikes on Gaza and committed by Benjamin Netanyahu. This is the first ones we've seen since Protective Edge 2014. Why is Israel renewing these airstrikes on Gaza?
Yeah, the problem is that, and this is a recurrent problem between Palestinians and Israel Defense Force, is that sometimes when they start to have the skirmishes over the border, gets out of control, and it actually becomes either an intifada or becomes an attack by the Israeli Defense Force in the city center. So the reason that we haven't seen anything is because those conflicts has been contained in the borders for a couple of years, but now it has been escalated. Hamas dropped about 200 small missiles in the borders of Israel during the weekend, partly because they are refusing to accept Israel's bombardment. They had oppositions in the borders. They want to have more access and free access to the waters. And all of this has created more problems. But I also believe that there is a much bigger regional issues, because the whole map of the geopolitical map of region is changing quite extensively. The forces that are coming to power in the region are very alien for Israel, particularly, and that puts Israel in a much more defensive position. It means that with any strike, Israel is going to escalate its responses, and it's actually going to create much more of a problem for Gaza and Palestinians in this context.
Politically, what has Israel got to gain from reigniting open conflicts with Gaza?
So two things that is very important for Israel. So the first one is that through this, Israel can kind of create a better fostering security arrangement with the United States of America. It has created the issue of sovereignty, looking at it to say that I'm defending my borders, and by that can further kind of ostracizes both Palestinian groups. So until 2017, you had a distinguished differences between Palestinian Liberation Organization, which is under Mahmoud Abbas rules, and the Hamas, which is under which is operating in Gaza under Mashal and the others. Now, from 2017, under the pressure of the United States, most of the Arab states predominantly refused to help Hamas and refused to help Palestinian organizations. It created a political vacuum in the region in which Iran became very influential. So while Iran didn't have that much power in Palestinian Liberation Organization, now Iran has quite a lot of significant share in both of the groups, which increases Iran's influence in southern parts of Lebanon because of Hezbollah, as well as in Gaza. Iran also has quite a lot of extensive power in Iraq, as you know, has quite a lot of extensive power in Syria, which means that it creates much more of a concern for Israel. And by this attack, Israel can unify quite a lot of defense to face Iran.
Considering that Russia and Israel have had close relations recently, and, you know, obviously Netanyahu's just gone to Moscow to go and meet with Vladimir Putin, what is Russia's stance on the matter? Are they kind of holding back from this conflict? Are they actually saying anything on the matter? Like, what's their position been?
So Russia's predominantly is interested in Syria. So their position about Israel-Palestinians is very much influenced by their position in Syria. They are very adamant in keeping Bashar Assad, and they are not changing this position. So if they can de-escalate the problems in Gaza, they would. And I believe that is their position at the moment. But before doing that, as Russia has always done that, they are going to use this conflict as another bargaining chip for discussion with the United States of America. As we have a change of administration from Obama's administration to Trump administration, you have much more of a religious affiliation in the security relationship that the United States had with Israel, which means that now you have evangelicals, born-again Christians, who are supporting a very strong stance of Trump administration against Palestinians. This means that the whole issue of conflict can become a very good bargaining chip for Russia in its debates and discussions with the United States of America, which is now completely in the side of Netanyahu. So while Barack Obama's administration had a little bit of levy in order to create a peace talks, those opportunities are taking away one by one. And it seems to me that it's either European Union who has to jump in and take the leadership role in a peace negotiation, a new round of peace negotiations, or we are going to see the escalation of violence quite repeatedly in the region.
What effects do you believe this will have on the Cold War with Iran and Saudi Arabia? I mean, obviously there's been a lot of political fallout since the US pulled from the Iran deal. Will this mean that Iranian-backed rebel groups like Hamas, like Hezbollah, will be more emboldened in the next few months or years?
Yes, absolutely. To a degree, yes. The reason is that Iran now has a very open road because of the conflict in Syria. Iran has quite a lot of open road to send military facilities and military equipment to Hezbollah. Hamas is very lonely at the moment. They cannot get any support from any Arab states. Most of the Arab states are very closely connected with the United States, which means that they cannot actually have a say in Hamas or support Hamas. Means that Iran is now jumping into the vacuum and Iran becomes the main supporter of Hamas. So while the states are becoming much more expensively connected and attached to the United States, it creates a void and an opportunity for Iran to have a very strong connections with the non-state actors. And these are not the problems that we can solve in a day. So it will de-escalate, of course. As you know, Egyptians and the United Nations envoy is now working to de-escalate the problems. But that doesn't mean that Iran is going to lose its influence in Hamas or in its influence in PLO. And that means that they will be in the period of much more political connection, very strong political connection between Iran and these groups. And these groups can actually create quite a lot of problems. Now, for Iran, it's also important to have these connections because the Islamic State is one of the biggest enemies of Iran because they are coming from a very different tradition. They are theologically different from Iran. And Iran is trying strategically to use traditional groups like Hamas and Hezbollah in order to create a buffer zone between the borders of Iran and ISIS, whether it is in Syria or whether it is in Iraq. So they actually desperately need those strategic alliances with Hamas and Hezbollah as well.
So, and just finally, one more question.
Sure.
What do you think this will lead to? Will it, after these attacks, do you think it will thaw like Protective Edge did, or do you think it will escalate? And do you think that Hamas and Israel will kind of ramp up conflict now that Israel has almost been emboldened by the decisions made around the Iran deal to confront these groups?
Yeah, I think it will de-escalate for a short time, as it does. Egypt is very insisting about de-escalating problems. I'm also hoping that Russia gets involved into de-escalating these issues because of its strategic interest in Syria. So, but whether it ends into another round of peace talks, which is the hope that everybody has, because if we do not have a peace talk, this becomes like in a situation that is very volatile. So it de-escalate and then it escalate again. Unless we have a peace process which brings both parties into a discussion and around the negotiating table, and that's the only way that we can have a ceasefire that's sustained. Otherwise, it flares up again.
Dr. Pateau, thank you very much for talking to me. That was Dr. Neymar Pateau. To the listeners, Senior Lecturer for Security Studies at Massey University, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me in the program.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.